good afternoon and welcome to Open Air, KALW's radio magazine of the performing arts. I'm your host, David Latulipe. This week, for their third appearance on our virtual stage of the Corona Radio Theater, actors Susie Damolano and Bill English from San Francisco Playhouse will perform Wildwood Park by Pulitzer Prize-winning American playwright Doug Wright. In Wildwood Park, a beleaguered real estate agent by the name of Ms. Haviland shows an increasingly suspect buyer, Dr. Simeon, around a house in which a famously gruesome and unsolved murder has recently occurred. Now, due to copyright restrictions, we can only broadcast that performance of Wildwood Park live. We cannot archive the audio at klw.org. So lucky you if you're listening right now. I'll talk with 2020 Grammy Award-winning music director and conductor Christian Macellaro about the Cabrillo Festival underway now in a completely reimagined virtual 58th season now through August 9th. Mezzo-soprano Sasha Cook will join the conversation. She performs songs by Jake Heggie on August 8th. And to start, I'm pleased to welcome back Opera San Jose's general director, Corey Dastoor, to talk about the ongoing virtual performances of Robert Schumann's Dichterliebe, of Poet's Love, with Spanish and Vietnamese translations. Welcome back, Corey.
Thank you, David. Lovely to be back.
Well, let's first talk about the motivation for these translations.
It really surprised me when I learned and studied the most recent demographic data in the city of San Jose that English is spoken as a first language in fewer than half of the households in San Jose. It struck me as an incoming general director thinking about how we grow our customer base that if we're only able to offer English language supertitles in the Opera House, right there we've essentially cut the opportunity to serve our community in half. If people who do not speak English and aren't fluent in our programming can't participate in that way. There are not a lot of upsides to the current crisis and pandemic, but I suppose one of them is this possibility now for these virtual concerts and digital content to be made available in a variety of languages. When we set out to do it, I assumed that a work as famous as Dichterliebe would certainly be available in every language under the sun, but our team was surprised to realize that no, in fact, that there were not easily accessible translations of Heine's text in Vietnamese. San Jose boasts of the largest Vietnamese population outside of Vietnam, and so it seemed like a good first step for us to commission a translation of these beautiful poems into Vietnamese so that that segment of our community could enjoy the concert.
It was interesting. Yeah, I was learning a little bit more about the demographics of San Jose. Approximately 42.8% white, and of the 32% Asian demographic, 10.4% are Vietnamese.
That's right. And of course, Spanish language translations, we had a few more options to choose from. We were able to create a panel of native Spanish language speakers who were musicians, conductors, vocalists who analyzed the translations that have been created to date. They agreed on the translation we selected as the most poetic and true to the original German text. So that was also another adventure. And we're really using this entire project as a pilot experiment for how we navigate the next however many months and continue to grow our customer base and serve the community, because what we're hearing from our patrons is, please don't stop. We need you now more than ever. And we certainly are committed to keeping our artists engaged and creative as well as employed during the pandemic. So this is all part of that same mission.
That is the challenge, of course. Now, Robert Schumann's profound song cycle of love and loss, Dichterliebe, written in 1840 to texts of Heinrich Heine. Why choose that particular work?
Because of the artists we had in our company, baritone Eugene Brâncoveanu, having grown up in Vienna, being born in Romania, being so vocally suited to this cycle itself being so universal in its appeal, and I think also the tone of it, a journey of love and loss very introspective, very intimate experience, and very operatic in many ways. It provided the perfect vehicle for our singers to express the truth of where they are as creatives, as well as, you know, it allowing our patrons to grow their understanding of how an opera singer is formed. Art song is very often the foundation of vocal training for all of us. And it is the perfect gateway to the operatic repertoire. So Eugene couldn't wait to interpret these songs. Christopher, who's a conductor, couldn't wait to support and be the orchestra from the piano bench. And it actually was a very surprisingly moving and poignant experience for all of us to come out of our shelter in place for just 30 minutes of some of the most glorious music ever written.
Of course, the prolific Eugene Branco-Vianu returned to the now semi-aborted 2019-20 Opera San Jose season. So Opera San Jose season is a member of the resident company, appearing in productions of Die Fledermaus, Hansel and Gretel, and Verdi's Il Trovatore. Other roles performed for the company include leads in Jake Heggie's Moby Dick, Mozart's Don Giovanni, Andre Previn's A Streetcar Named Desire, and Bizet's Carmen. Also an Adler Fellow with SF Opera and was featured prominently in several semi-stage productions with the San Francisco Symphony under Michael Tilson Thomas. A great treat to have him as a part of Opera San Jose, I'm sure.
It is, and it has been. And it is also a treat to really have the opportunity now to support and invest in all of our local artists. You know, it is unknown how long this pandemic will persist, and we certainly want to be able to make wonderful music with people who've made the Bay Area their home for many years. So we want to support them for the duration of this crisis.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the digital studio that is making some of these wonderful performances possible.
Very exciting. We had the opportunity through a leadership gift from one of our board of trustees in honor of her late husband to figure out how we could best pivot the organization to stay active during the time. We are very fortunate to have a rehearsal space. Irene Dallas had the foresight to make sure that we acquired a piece of property so we would always have a home. And we have a wonderful scene shop of creative people who have transformed the space entirely from a huge rehearsal hall to essentially a digital TV studio. So acoustical improvements have been made, equipment has been purchased, and we're all now standing on very new ground as we figure out how to produce content that is genuinely interesting in a very saturated market and how we monetize that in order to keep the organization healthy. But I'm really excited about this new capability and all the projects to come, because there are chamber pieces, smaller works for voice and chamber opera, mini operas, full-length operas with fewer characters, all of those things that were really not on my radar as possibilities for the grand scale of the California Theater, which all of a sudden now are looking like viable projects for us. So that's very exciting.
And it's a resource that can be used throughout the community too, I'm sure.
Indeed. Yeah, we have often provided technical assistance and performance space to other local arts companies, and now this added capacity will help us lift them up as well.
So as you move forward, I imagine we've talked about this before, Corey, about keeping your ear to the blogs and to various other organizations around the world to see how things will move forward from here. Anything in these past few weeks that's new?
Well, I think the newness for me was the realization that there isn't a day where this is, quote, over, right, David? We have, I think initially we're waiting 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, 120, whatever we were waiting for. We've now come around to the realization that that magic moment isn't on its way. So what we need to do is think about our mission, think about the deliverable we provide to society and to our community, and find creative ways to continue to serve the mission. And I will tell you that I have become actually very inspired by what is possible. It is possible to quarantine artists together as a stable cohort, to test them regularly, to set up isolation practices and regular testing practices that will allow us to safely execute our mission. And we are all, we're stunned at the miracle of just one voice and one piano and how much that felt like just magic after 30 days in our homes. So we've started a campaign of driveway concerts, pop-up, you know, we're going to retirement communities where people are enjoying from their balconies. There are ways to do what we do in the face of this pandemic, and we're meeting those challenges and inspired to do that.
Fantastic. Corey Dustor is the General Director of Opera San Jose, overseeing all aspects of artistic planning and business operations for the company, especially innovative in these extraordinary times. Corey, keep up the fantastic work. And we have a wonderful opportunity now through the 15th of August to hear Eugene Brancon-Vianu sing Schumann's Dich der Liebe with Vietnamese and Spanish translations. All the information at operasj.org. Let's have a little listen of Eugene's beautiful version of Dich der Liebe, ever so slight little tease. And Corey, we look forward to our next conversation soon.
As do I. Thank you so much, David. Be sure. Safe.
Ich grolle nicht, und wenn das Herz auch bricht, ich sah dich ja im Traume und sah die Nacht in deine
Brancon-Vianu singing an excerpt from Schumann's Dich der Liebe. Once again, you can hear a full performance of that with both Vietnamese and Spanish subtitles for the first time through Opera San Jose's website, operasj.org, through August 15th. A very good afternoon to you. I'm David Latulippe. We'll be hearing from folks from SF Playhouse shortly, once again for a return visit for our Corona Radio Theater, and a work by contemporary playwright Doug Wright, Pulitzer Prize winning writer who is quite prolific. We'll be hearing a work called Wildwood Park, quite a dark and stormy bit of live radio drama that'll be heading your way shortly. And I'll be talking with some folks shortly from the Cabrillo Festival of Contemporary Music about their upcoming festival. Stay with us. During this time of Corona Radio Theater Madness, we are Pleased to be joined by folks now from the Cabrillo Music Festival. The 2020 Cabrillo Music Festival got underway this past Saturday and continues through August 9th. KLW, a proud media sponsor for the festival once again, as you may have been hearing on our air. Under the leadership of Marin Alsop for many years, current music director and conductor Christian Macellaro now has a few seasons under his belt slash baton, and of course has been faced with unprecedented challenges for making this year's festival, his fourth as director, even more compelling, given the virtual audience he has to appeal to. Welcome back to Open Air, Christian. I see Sasha Cook. There's Christian. Hello, Sasha Cook as well. There we are, Christian. Hello, welcome.
Hello, how are you?
Hi.
Sorry for the last minute changes to our schedule. Now we're finally rolling. Well, Christian, I just did a lovely introduction to you. Welcome back to Open Air.
Thank you very much.
Joined by the great Grammy Award-winning mezzo Sasha Cook, who will be performing on Saturday, August 8th for a concert featuring the music of Jake Heggie. Sasha was also artist in residence for the San Francisco Symphony's abandoned final season with retiring music director Michael Tilson Thomas, and has the distinction of being one of the last performers in Davies Symphony Hall for performances of Michael Tilson Thomas's Rilke songs back in January before the shutdown. Welcome, Sasha.
Hi.
So great to see you again. And such a memorable Hansel in the San Francisco Opera production of Hansel and Gretel this past fall. Congratulations.
Thank you. So fun.
Well, before we zip through the festival's offering, let me first ask how you and your families are doing during this whole crisis. Sasha, how about you?
Well, I think they're grateful that we're all together. You know, it'll be strange to go back on the road. I'm already sensing that's going to be hard, you know, because kids click into a rhythm and that becomes the new normal. But so, more importantly, I'm really grateful for the time. And I imagine Christy feels similarly, that that's the great silver lining, you know, all the moments that are happening, because normally home is this special treat and you enjoy it. But now there's something every day, you know, there's some new, I don't know, you're just sharing all of these experiences. So I've been so grateful for that.
Mm-hmm. And your family is healthy and safe and all that?
Thankfully, yes. And yours?
Thank you very much so. I just had my third COVID test because I had a couple of operations and they wanted to double check that everything was clean and negative. So
wow,
tested as can be at this point. Christian, not a great time for a jet-setting international conductor. While I imagine most of your in-person activities have stopped, does the idea of a return to flight travel intimidate you at all, given the current uncertainties?
Well, I feel slightly more fortunate, I think, than most musicians, because I reside in Europe, and things have been very, very different in Europe, in the sense that, you know, I've actually just completed a few weeks worth of concerts that I gave with my two respective orchestras in Europe that I have in Germany and in Paris. And I'm in my hometown in Timișoara in Romania, conducting an open air concert tomorrow with slightly over 100 musicians on this enormous stage, distanced, of course, and with masks and with all the right things in place. But we are performing music outdoors for a small audience, but music is happening. And it's true. Instead of taking me 2 hours to fly from one place to another, now it takes me 3 days to drive. But it's nice to have that option, at least. And I've always loved driving, actually. This has always been something that relaxed me. And I love getting in the car and going from Paris to Romania. And you stop over in Munich, Vienna, and Budapest, you know. So it's a interesting, I see a lot of beauty in it. But as Sasha said, I'm grateful to be with my family. My kids are so happy. We've never had so much time together. And, you know, it's been very special to be able to have this time with them.
And it's not quite the return to the way Mozart traveled by horse and carriage through Europe, a little bit faster, given the superhighways in Europe these days. but it is a sort of slowdown. It's a reset button that I think we're all facing in different ways. And talk about surreal times of performance. Let's hope that we can all return to the sound of applause in a hearty hall soon. And again, Christian, your family is safe and all.
Yes, thank you. We've all been very lucky.
What a treat for us to be hearing, Sasha, you sing some of the music of Jake Heggie. What did you choose for this concert?
Well, there's so much to choose from. I mean, Jake has an incredible amount of repertoire, particularly for the voice. I did want to include one thing I know, which I've done before, which is from a cycle called Into the Fire about Camille Claudel. So two of the songs will be from that. And then we sang two other of Jake's, you know, amazing songs, Primary Colors. Actually, there's a nice connection with that because it's the text of Sister Helen Prision. And I just spaced on the fourth song. I'm totally spacing. But anyway, actually, I can't wait for you guys to listen to them because it's one of the most meaningful things I've done during this period. There's been a lot of virtual performing, but making music with Jake from afar somehow was one of the most rewarding things. I don't know. It felt like we were together. And of course, he's the composer too, so that has that unique. And I'm following him because the singer can't record without the pianist. So that's another interesting aspect to making music right now. I'm trying to take the breaths that he wants and do the phrases he's planning, if that makes any sense.
And that takes a bit, some advanced planning, of course, and communication. Where are you and compared to where Jake is?
So Jake's in the Bay Area and I'm in the Woodlands, Texas, which is a town not far from Houston. We're sort of north of the airport here. I wanted to live nearer to my folks who are still professors at Texas A&M University. And luckily, we are away from the craziness of Houston and all that's going on there. And we have close proximity to nature and a lake and trails and whatnot. So with kids, that's been crucial to be able to get outside. I've friends in New York who haven't left for months.
Wow. Jake Heggie happens to be a neighbor of mine in the Lower Haight here in San Francisco. So
how cool.
That's nice. So super sweet man too. And an amazing composer. We look forward to those performances again. Those will be on Saturday, August 7th. Chris John in conversation with Jake, and then Sasha Cook singing Jake Heggie's music, and the Moby Dick concert suite as well. Chris John.
Yes, this was a orchestral suite that Jake allowed me to subtract or to take from the opera Moby Dick, which I was very lucky to be the assistant conductor for the initial performance for the world premiere in Dallas. And Patrick Summers was the conductor for this performance, and he asked me to be his assistant. This was exactly 10 years ago. And then I was so in love with Jake's music, and those that know Moby Dick, you would know exactly what I'm talking about. It's a really epic orchestral score. And I asked Jake from the very beginning, and I said, you know, this needs to be a suite, an orchestral suite of its own, just the same way that Richard Strauss did and Wagner and, you know, many other composers would subtract orchestral suite from their scores. And Jake said, you know, if you feel so strongly about it, you do it because I just don't have time. And then I said, okay, I'm going to do it. And then for my first season in Cabrillo, I did this. I created a suite, which is, it was very interesting because it focused a lot on the sounds and the music that I wanted to show people from the opera, but it does not follow the storyline. So the first time Jake heard it, he was so thrown off by this whole, but you know, you hear your own opera and then the themes are not developing in the right order, you know, it's a little strange, but he was really helpful and we worked together on it a little bit and we cut some things down. It was 28 minutes at the beginning and then we cut it down to 19. And it was really fun to work on it because I got to really think inside the music a little bit differently. And then that actually led to his asking me to reorchestrate or to arrange the entire opera for a smaller orchestra. And so it can fit in a smaller pit, which then I did a couple years later. And that was also really amazing to be able to get in the mind of Jake Higgy and his musical world and to be able to create that. So this is what the suite will be.
Lots happening as part of Cabrillo Festival's Reimagine 2020 season, including, speaking of world premieres, Christian, this Saturday, after an interview with Lou Harrison champion Dennis Russell Davies and some music of David Little, we'll hear the world premiere recording of the Cabrillo commissioned Symphony No. 3 by Lou Harrison with the Cabrillo Festival Orchestra, conducted by Dennis Russell Davies back in 1991. That'll be a special treat.
Exactly. Yes, this, you know, Lou Harrison was such an important figure to the Santa Cruz community and to our festival. And this was Dennis left a huge imprint on the festival and the community. And we wanted to look back to our past so that we can better inform the present and perhaps frame the future. And we thought that it would be very good and very beautiful to be able to look at Lou Harrison and his influence on the festival. And it's a beautiful conversation. You know, I'm lucky enough to see some of these things in advance because I plan them in advance. So it's a very beautiful conversation going down memory lane, and also this recording, which was one of the few commercially released recordings that the festival orchestra has made of the symphony, and it's a beautiful work that I'm so happy that people now get to actually hear it again. You know, as you know, in our festival, we never really perform anything twice because it is the mission of the festival. So in some ways, it's interesting to be able to look back than to hear ourselves perform things again, because it's so not what our audience is used to. Everything has to be new in Cabrillo. But it's fun to go back, you know, 30 years almost and look back at something that I think most people don't remember it as being something that we are repeating.
Well, let's have a little taste of the second movement of Lou Harrison's Third Symphony as we say goodbye to Christian Macellaro and Sasha Cook. Thank you so much for taking some time, both of you, and for making Cabrillo happen in this unusual time.
Thank you.
Thank you.